Mike Davis was interviewed in July by the Los Angeles Times and asked to reflect on his legacy as a prolific Southern California-based writer, urban theorist, and historian. He's perhaps best known for City of Quartz, which tells the story of Los Angeles, that glittery dream machine that Davis portrays as a corrupt metropolis built on graft and racist policing. The 76-year-old Davis is in the terminal stages of cancer, but describes his state of mind as fairly cheerful. Thanks to California's Death with Dignity law, he has some control over the final months of his life and the timing of his death. Well, Mike Snedeker, you are among those of us on the Old Mole who feel sadness about the prospect of losing this great intellectual soon. You have a long history as an appellate attorney fighting for the rights of defendants in some of those same brutal places that Mike Davis chronicles in his books on Los Angeles. How did you come across his work?
It was a minor miracle. In 1990, I was appointed to represent a black man accused, convicted, and sentenced to death for machine gunning to death a police officer who was picking up his kid at a daycare center. It was a notorious crime in Los Angeles. They closed down freeways and memorials, and the trial lasted 3 years. Shortly after my appointment, the whole snitch scandal erupted in Los Angeles. It turned out in the 80s, almost every serious crime had some jailhouse informant or snitch conveying a vicarious confession to the jury, where supposedly the accused spilled his guts out and acknowledged doing the crime. This was like a factory of confessions. And there was a big scandal, and I was invited to go down to Los Angeles and visit the Jailhouse Informant Litigation Team, or JILT, right downtown on Broadway. Because in this case, there had been 23 possible snitches elbowing each other to get prime position. Because if they were chosen, they would get cash money, license to rape and rob, and all sorts of benefits would accrue. So I went down there to a place which I really wasn't familiar with, to Broadway, 9th and Broadway, where the building was. And it was a surreally hot August day. The street was just pullulating with people, almost all black, brown, and yellow, Korean speaking Spanish. And high above, you could see like a city in heaven, this dreamscape, these buildings, shadowy outline, which were impossible to get to. I finally made it up there after my day's work by climbing high up onto this surreal heavenly landscape of 80-story buildings, gardens, and even a little amphitheater, two people, because it was entirely deserted. It was so surreal.
Was this downtown LA?
This was downtown LA. So I wanted to know what was happening. I read two books. One of them, Los Angeles, Capital of the Third World, by David Reif, was a kind of cheery book that says that L.A. is doing quite well. Essentially, the Mexicans and the Asians are recapitulating, the Italians and the Jews, and it's all tumbling right along pretty nicely. And then I found City of Quartz. City of Quartz explained everything that I saw. It showed how the downtown developments had taken place with deals cut with the black community when Tom Bradley was elected, where they would, in return for being hired at municipal jobs, allow disinvestment throughout the black community and development of a zone which was deliberately cut off from the lower parts of downtown on Bunker Hill. It explained the property, the rise of angry white people who had already paid for their children's education, resentful of paying property taxes, refusing to do it. He showed the L.A. noir, L.A. nightmare, how Los Angeles began as a white person's dream. It was a commodity sold back east. He explained the centers of power, the Protestant Republicans downtown, the Jewish Democrats on the west side, and he explained how hundreds of thousands of jobs had been lost to the black community by shifting away from manufacturing, and how crack cocaine had become the virtually only way to make money. He wrote about the black lash. He wrote, quote, "As the high-tech gulag of Pelican Bay suggests, the specter of the black criminal underclass has begun to augment, even replace the red menace as the satanic other, which justifies the trampling of civil liberties."
Mike, yes. Along that eloquent and visceral passage, Davis has been criticized by people on the left for not attending enough to working class and marginalized groups engaged in resistance, that it's overly dark and pessimistic. What's your take on that critique?
He wrote a 700-page book about resistance in Los Angeles developing in the 1960s. It's a nonsensical take. He writes about the power structures of Los Angeles. After reading his book, I thought, there's got to be a riot in this town. And the next year, there was. It turned out the police agencies were the last gasp of white people hanging on to power, and that power now in Los Angeles is distributed much more so than it was in 1990. But Mike Davis is writing about the power structure and how power exerts itself is not something that he's doing. It's not his fault that LA is the way that it is.
Yeah. But Davis also is a passionate eco-socialist and quite unsparing in exposing the false solutions of greenwashing and the climate crisis and superficial reforms and showing how capitalism is driving much of the destruction of the planet. Have you come across that aspect of his work?
Well, yes. City of Quartz, if I had to pick the single best left political book, that would be it, because it's theoretically remarkably good. Its observations are acute, and they're always very well chosen. The guy has a knack for picking real topics. The Ecology of Fear, when he's got a brilliant chapter called The Case for Letting Malibu Burn, where he points out that there are pine trees and all kinds of plants in California, those seeds only open at temperatures of more than 400 degrees. That fire is an essential element of the ecological community. It's not a matter of if Malibu will burn, it's a question of when. And not only is he prescient about climate change and the increasing heat, but also he wrote about pandemics, the monster within us back 20 years ago with Asian flu. He predicted there will be inevitably pandemics that will rage to a greater or lesser degree throughout the entire planet. He writes really concretely and vividly, and he's just been my favorite leftist writer since I first read City of Quartz 30 years ago.
So you don't agree with critics that describe him as overly apocalyptic? The term overly apocalyptic seems redundant, but as apocalyptic?
Well, they said he was apocalyptic when he first published City of Quartz, and a year later, the apocalypse happened in Los Angeles. I mean, he wrote a book called Late Victorian Holocausts, which if you ever want a book showing how capitalism kills, that's your book. It indicates how tens of millions of people died due to colonialism in the late 19th century because starving populations were not allowed to eat the food that they had worked and grown and processed. No, I don't think he's apocalyptic at all. Los Angeles has changed in many ways for the better because of him. Frank Gehry, the big architect who designed, among other things, the Disney Hall, essentially credits Mike Davis for goading him to create urban space around that Disney Hall, because Mike Davis wrote so well about how urban space had been designed to keep away poor people. And he gave details. He has photographs of bum-proof benches designed for the Los Angeles transport system. He's had a great effect in many ways concretely on city administration. He's telling the truth, and he's projecting not every bad thing will happen. I mean, Malibu has not burned yet, but there have been very serious wildfires that he predicted would rage over the West, and it's hardly his fault that these fires are happening.
Yeah, the problem of attacking the messenger. Well, thanks, Mike, for sharing your thoughts. I think it's fitting to close with some words from Mike Davis from the Los Angeles Times interview with him on July 25th. He said, "I'm in the terminal stage of metastatic esophageal cancer, but still up and around the house. But I guess what I think about the most is that I'm just extraordinarily furious and angry. If I have a regret, it's not dying in battle or in a barricade, as I've always romantically imagined, you know, fighting." Well, so I guess it's up to the rest of us to keep up the fight. Thanks, Mike. This is Jan Hawken and Mike Snedeker paying tribute today to author, activist, and urban theorist Mike Davis.